Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
You know, we have special speakers, and a lot of times, and they're amazing men and women of God who have given their lives to it. And it's just a joy, and it's a privilege to sit under them. But I really like it when we have our own. This morning, Brother Matt Koss is going to bring a word this morning that's on his heart for the house. And as I would just ask that as he comes and takes his liberty this morning, make him welcome. Matt does so much around here that nobody realizes what he does. There's many of you do things around here nobody sees. But Matt and Natalie take on so much around here, and they're faithful to it. So as he comes this morning, would you just welcome him and just open your hearts to hear what God has through the man of God, brother. Have fun.
Dan said, have fun. I will. Yeah, we dismissing the children? Cool. I'm not that special of a speaker, so we are dismissing children. Let's stand up and bless our children as they go and minister to the Lord. Amen. Awesome. Great. Everyone good this morning? Feels good in the house this morning, doesn't it? I love hearing the testimonies of what God is. Thank you, love. Everyone say thank you, Natalie. She's amazing. Yeah, don't call her love. I'm just blessed. I feel so blessed this morning by the testimonies. Brad, thanks for sharing. And just so much that God is doing in everyone. I feel like everyone in this, you know, congregation corporately, we all carry such a story, such a testimony. And in the Word of God, it says, we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Like what Michael said, testimony means to say again or do it again, like do it again. So God's going to do it again. And so when you release your testimony, you're releasing the power for God to do it again, the hope for God to do it again. And it's amazing to hear people testify about financial breakthrough in their life, spiritual breakthrough in families. And so this morning, I want to talk about leadership, healthy biblical leadership, I guess is what I wanted to talk about, if that's okay. All right, so I'm a Bible guy. Anyone a Bible person here? All right, let's get your sword out. Got mine right here on my iPad. I know some of you might not like that. That's okay, you'll get over it. Go to 2 Timothy. We're going to be in 2 Timothy this morning. Second Timothy 3, right there, talking about leadership, really talking about the word of God and how the word communicates to us and how leaders communicate using the principles of the word. So I'm going to read 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5 before we dive in. Second Timothy 4 starts and says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. That's the key verse. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passion, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. The word of God for the people of God. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your holy scriptures, your word to us. Lord, you blessed us with great many blessings. One of the foremost being your word, one of the ways that you communicate to us. And so we thank you for it. And Father, I surrender right now. My tongue, my communication, Lord, to be fully subject to you and your heart as we receive from you this morning. And we all pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. So talking about leadership. Passage doesn't directly talk about leadership, but it talks about the word of God and it talks about teaching. It does talk about teaching and how people's itching ears will want to hear what their passions want to hear. And so as leaders, which we are a house full of leaders, headed up by a great leader, Apostle Clay. And so there's so much leadership in this house, even within the body that we have, that I felt it key to pull out some principles in the Word of God about leadership and healthy biblical leadership. Clay lives and breathes leadership authority. And so we're blessed to be able to see him operate in that and teach on it. And his latest book, Relational Authority, if you haven't read it, I don't want to say shame on you, but I kind of do. It's so good. You should get it. It's out there on the book table, but it's amazing. It's full of rich principles, experiences, and biblical principles for leadership. But what the Word of God tells us here in 2 Timothy 4, it says, preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, and with complete patience and teaching. The Word of God is not just telling preachers and teachers, apostles, prophets, and evangelists to preach the Word, is it? I mean, is it limiting who preaches the Word? No, it's for the entire body of Christ. It's for the saints. We should be ready to preach the Word in season and out of season. What else should we be ready to do in season and out of season? Reprove, rebuke, exhort, and teach or encourage. So there's those four principles are really what I'm going to hone in on. So to start, think about a leader in your life. Or for example, how about some audience participation? When I say the word leader or leadership, what do you think about? Pastor. Say again. Okay, civil rights leaders. What do you guys think about leaders? Say again. John Maxwell is a leader, yeah. Sports. President's a leader, yeah. So you guys are naming specific offices of leadership. You know, leadership is so broad. Within the church, within the body of Christ, leadership can look like discipleship. Some people call it spiritual fathering. Some people call it mentoring. But regardless, it's all umbrellaed under leadership. A father is a leader. A mother is a leader. A brother can be a leader, right? And so you can choose to step into a role of leadership, but you have to be equipped in order to do it. An experience has to happen in order for you to step into that role. Let me give you an example. Jesus and the first apostles and the disciples. Jesus was a leader of those apostles, right? Not too many times during the time that they followed Jesus were they really leaders until Jesus transitioned and all of them stepped up to be leaders. Okay. So I believe that all of us are called to be followers. Some of us are called to transition into leadership as well. So the key about the disciples is that there was a moment in time, a transition when Jesus, during his death, burial, and resurrection, caused them to step into a place of leadership and lead the body of Christ. ultimately the, you know, they establish the church. Does that make sense? There comes a time where we're all supposed to follow a leader or follow several leaders or submit ourselves to leaders. But there also comes a time where there's the transition moment where we lead as well. Right? Does that make sense? For instance, for a father, it's when they have a child. You're all of a sudden the leader of not just a family leader over your wife and yourself, but also over your children now. So there's different phases of leadership. So as you've kind of taken time to think about a leader, think about a leader in your life. A leader might be Apostle Clay. It might be Natalie and I on the worship team. It might be Dan and Vicki Billman, Ira and Francine. So many leaders in the house. I'm trying to look around and get some faces. Mike and Jess are leaders. Ian and Bree are leaders. You might have a father that you're thinking about, or a mother, or a public figure. But as you think about it, when I think about leadership, I think about what the scripture tells us about rebuking, reproving, exhorting, and teaching with patience. If you lack correction in your life, then you lack biblical leadership in your life. And you also, if you lack correction in your life, you lack Bible in your life. Because it says in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, reproving, correcting, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So the word of God is used for teaching, reproving, correcting, and training. So the idea is to align our leadership with those principles. It's correcting, rebuking, encouraging, exhorting, teaching, and training in righteousness. Make sense? Everyone say yes. The Bible itself should be a teaching, reproving, correcting, and training tool. And leadership that is biblical and healthy should follow the same pattern. Does that make sense? Everyone say yes. Cool. I'm making you agree with me. See how I did that? Don Lynch, who's a friend of this house, says this. He says, you are one relationship away from your next breakthrough. That makes sense? You're one relationship away from your next breakthrough. Now, I believe that sometimes your breakthrough can come through prayer, intimacy, but many times your life breakthroughs will come through leadership and authority in your life. So when we align ourselves with leadership, healthy leadership that has encouragement, rebuke, correction, and training, breakthrough comes in those aspects because it's lined up with Scripture. Amen? So when we talk about breakthrough, a lot of times we're saying, God, I need a breakthrough. God, I need a breakthrough. Well, quit asking for your breakthrough when you refuse to align yourself with proper authority. Okay? Two people agree with me. I'm going to say it again. Stop asking God for breakthrough when you refuse to align yourself with proper authority in your life. Okay? Because what authority, true, healthy, biblical authority does, which is, I believe, in this house, and I know is in this house, Dan and Vicky, Ira and Francine, Apostle Clay, Natalie and I, Mike and Jess, there's so many leaders around here, Thomas and Kathy. I mean, there's leaders all over the house. They are reproving, correcting, but they're also encouraging and training and equipping in righteousness. And when you have true leadership in your life, those breakthroughs that you're looking for are right there in your leadership. Because they're encouraging you. They're rebuking you, and it might hurt. But if you don't have the rebuke, then you are just a renegade looking for a leader in your life that just wants to speak the good things over you. But when you have the Bible, what is the word of God? It is sharper than a double-edged sword, piercing, bone and marrow, soul and spirit. The word is a sword. and it rebukes and it corrects and it encourages and it teaches. Proper leadership in your life will do the same thing. Proverbs 27:5 says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. I don't want open rebuke, so I'll take it privately though. But it does say better is open rebuke than hidden love. It's kind of gem in Proverbs. The second part, other than rebuke and correct, is exhort and encourage and teach. So the question is, do you have leadership in your life that encourages you and finds hidden treasures and features inside of you? Because true healthy leadership will grab hold of you and will probably correct you and probably rebuke you, but it'll also encourage you and find little treasures that you never knew were there. Here's the easiest way for me to put it. One of the things that I do here is all the media team and all the worship team. And so when I'm training someone in the media, I may have someone come up to me and say, hey, I really want to help run the cameras or run the camera board. It's pretty cool. It's all complex and gadgety and all that kind of stuff. And someone might want to come up and learn the cameras. And so I say, cool, let's get you going on the cameras. But before we start you on the cameras, let's just have you hang out here for a little bit up in the media booth. I mean, and I show them the lights. Show them how we do change all the colors. You guys see the colors already changed from orange to this. And background, show them the projection, how the projection. Don't they do an amazing job? Yeah, they deserve 8 claps. Sounds good. They're an amazing team. And then I show them the sound and how they run all the sound. We have this amazing soundboard that's digital, and I can run it from this iPad. It's pretty cool. I can just stand anywhere in the room and adjust the sound. You can get on your iPhone and members from the worship team can adjust their monitor levels and turn themselves up or turn the guitar up. Totally cool sound system. So I show them all the little widgets and gadgets and stuff and how it has motorized faders and all kinds of fancy stuff. Because the reason I do that is because they may have gone up there thinking, I really want to run the cameras. But once they get their feet in the water a little bit, play around with the lights, play around with the projection, play around with the sound, they may find out that they're better at or that they like more running this part of the media team or this. But they never would have found out that they liked that or that they enjoyed that or that they were better at that if they didn't have a leader in their life that said, hey, why don't you mess around with this a little, right? I'm not trying to exalt myself, but I am trying to say it's good to have leadership in your life that doesn't just let you do what you want to do. So we all have passions and we all have desires, but that's what in 2 Timothy 4, the passage is warning us against. It said, there is a time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. So I say that, you know, I give that example as a very lighthearted way of saying, if you only choose leaders in your life that will encourage you and do things that only you want to do, then it's not really a leader. That's just you being a renegade, getting people in your life that'll just take you somewhere where you want to go. Does that make sense? So spiritually speaking, spiritual leaders, biblical, healthy biblical leaders, if you only put healthy biblical leaders in your life that will take you to a place that you see yourself going and you don't accept any other correction or rebuke or direction, then you are just trying to, you're your own leader. Does that make sense? Healthy leadership will pull out the gems inside of you, will pull out the treasures, will pull out the hidden features that you didn't even know were there and capitalize on that. Does that make sense? Everyone say yes. Should make sense. Kind of elementary. I don't know. let's see. I want to say this. The Bible itself, the Word of God, should be a teaching, reproving, correcting, and training tool. Leadership that is biblical and healthy should follow the same pattern. Would those of you who have been here for a while, several months, a couple years, agree that we have great teaching in this house, great leadership? I can attest to that. I have the honor of Natalie, my wife, and I have been here for over 3 years now and been able to sit under not only great teaching and great leadership, great shepherding, but we've been able to connect and be discipled and trained under Apostle Clay, Dan and Vicky, Thomas and Kathy. But you know, we chose to be connected to the root. We chose to submit ourselves to leaders in this body. And we chose to submit ourselves to not only the encouragement and the finding of the hidden treasures and features inside of us and the exhortation, but we chose at the same time to be submitted to rebuke and correction. And I'm just encouraging you. It's not a rebuke, but I'm just saying that there are so many people out there, and we have to be careful that we don't just submit ourselves to leaders that encourage and pull out the gems in us, but leaders that are strong enough to rebuke and correct us. How many of you have been rebuked or corrected by a leader in your life? I have a lot. I sit under Clay. He's intense. It's good, though. The cutting is good. The guiding is good. Without the rebuke and the correction, there really is a lack of guidance. It's healthy to be corrected. Amen? I know this is hard for some of you. You don't like to be corrected. I'm going to share a couple of scriptures with you. I'm not going to be too long. Here's some good quotes. We'll just have a little quote time. Familiarity breeds contempt in the long run. Familiarity breeds contempt in the long run. To be effective and to be life-giving, authority must be relational. Clay says this a lot. A lot of people say, my spiritual father is T.D. Jakes or Lance Wallnau. Or, you know, your spiritual leader, your spiritual father. And then he'll respond to him and say, when was the last time you talked to him? Well, no, I mean, I just listened to their messages and they, you know, encourage me. You know, that's not spiritual fathering. Spiritual fathering and true leadership is a leader that you can sit with, a leader that you can talk to, a leader that can encourage you personally in your life and correct you in your life. Does that make sense? So here's another great quote. When authentic authority is in people's life, it serves to help them, not punish them. All these quotes are from someone that you might know. And they're all in that book out there. Apostle Clay wrote them in the book. I just took them down for notes. Receiving knowledge shows that we're teachable. Applying knowledge shows that we're transformable. Until you have authentic leadership in your life, you're very teachable. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing to be teachable. It's a good thing to be taught something. Being taught something means that you can retain information. We've all been through school here, whether it was third grade, fifth grade, eighth grade, high school, college, graduate program. We've all been taught here. You can retain information. But until you take that information and apply it, that's when you become transformable. That's what Clay teaches a lot. It's one of his big principles he teaches. If you've been here long enough, you've heard it. But when I was in college, I studied music. And you can study music. You can study eighth notes and quarter notes and dotted quarter notes, half notes, whole notes, staffs, staves, I should say, bass clef, treble clef. You can learn music and you can retain that information. But it's just information to you unless you apply it. And when I begin to apply it and I go and play piano or I go and play guitar and I take those principles and apply them, that's what transforms me. I guarantee you, if you're not a musician and you learned music, you would not be transformed by it. You would be bored by it. You would retain the information and you would understand, oh yeah, it's just kind of interesting. But until you applied that information, you wouldn't be transformed by it. And teachers that are, and leaders that are effective leaders, don't just teach you information, but they anticipate and expect transformation in your life. And when we long for teachers only to retain information, but to not apply it, then we'll never be transformable. Make sense? We've had several people in our life, Natalie and I, that, you know, want to be around us or submitted to us or mentored by us. But ultimately, when they don't receive the correction and the rebuke, we realize that they didn't really want to be submitted to us. They just wanted what we had. Does that make sense? They wanted to be encouraged, and they wanted to be great musicians like us, or they wanted to be great, you know, leaders like us. I'm not trying to say that we're great leaders or great musicians, but they see some of the features in us, and they want that, but without the correction and the training, they walk away. And I had someone come up to me, this is probably a year ago, and it was kind of funny. It was after a service, and they came up to me and they said, "Man, Matt, can you pray for me right now that I could play guitar just like you? Just pray for me that I would get the anointing." And I said, "I will absolutely not do that." I said, I would never pray for someone to be able to, whether it's play guitar like me or be an architect, like a great architect, in a split second. I would never do that. Because the pain and the blood, sweat, and tears that went into the 10 or 15 years, it's about 14 years now I've been a musician, that went into that is what created me to be what I am now. And I would never wish it on someone in a moment. Because then you lack the wisdom to follow through. I'm just going to name off some scriptures here. You guys can write these down or follow along. Proverbs 11:14 says, "Where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in abundance of counsel, there is victory." Talked about victory a lot this morning, huh? It says, in the abundance of counsel, there is victory. Want victory in your life? Surround yourself with counsel. Where there is no guidance, people fall. But in an abundance of counselors, there is victory. Gotta love the Proverbs. They're so simple. Want victory in your life? Surround yourself with counsel. Healthy, biblical leadership. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." You want profit in your life? You want to go further? Submit to leadership and allow them to keep watch over you. Obey leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over you as those who will give an account. It talks other place in scripture about how leaders will give an account. Teachers will give an account. They're kept a little bit more strict. I mean, we all want to talk about how we're all equal and, you know, God doesn't favor this or that or the other. But the scriptures do tell us that leaders and teachers will give an account. That they are held for, they will give an account for those that have submitted to them. And so as those who are submitted to leadership, allow leaders to keep watch over you. It's not to punish you, but it's to watch over you and to guide you. So if you want profit and you want to go further in your life, submit to healthy leadership and allow them to keep watch over you. This is very hard because a lot of us have been wounded. How many have been wounded? I've been wounded before, wounded by leadership or wounded by, you know, whether it's your parents or whether it's siblings or other leaders in your life. But the Bible teaches us to submit to leaders. In the submission, there's breakthrough. In the submission, to healthy biblical leadership, there's breakthrough. So stop crying out for your breakthrough when you lack in this other area of your life. Philippians 2:3 says, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves." So leaders, you want to lead well, consider others more valuable than yourself. A great leader will not ever ask someone to do something that they're not willing to do themselves. So leaders, consider others more valuable than yourselves. As I was just sitting preparing, writing some things down for this morning, I thought about the leaders in our house. Apostle Clay and Susan, Dan and Vicky, Thomas and Kathy, Ira and Francine, Jeanette and George, Henry and Mary Thomas. And I just confidently just kind of started thinking about the leaders that we have in our leadership meetings and with Ian and Bree and Mike and Jess on the team. And all these leaders are so humble and ready to help, ready to support, always valuing others over themselves. And I understand that a lot of people want to be connected to Clay directly, and they want to be rooted to him, and they want to follow him, and they want to link arms with him, and they want to communicate with him. And I know that some of few of us, I mean, I'm full-time here, so I have that privilege, whether I like it or not. I submit to him, and I'm with him a lot. I travel with him, and a lot of you, I understand, want that. But there's so many leaders in this house that value others over themselves, that are willing to guide, correct, rebuke, have you over, encourage you. There's so many leaders in the house that will do that. Luke 22:26 says, it is not this way with you, but the one who is greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the servant. Leaders want to be great leaders, serve people. I thought about the leaders in this house, like I was saying, how they value others over themselves and how they serve. Most of the time when you see an event here, whether it's this upcoming event with Dutch, or maybe it's a holiday dinner, like a Christmas banquet that we have, the people that are serving and setting up are the leaders. That's on purpose. Leaders serve. Scripture tells us, he who is the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the servant. There's nothing wrong with wanting to become a great leader. There's nothing wrong with that. So leaders and friends that are wanting to step into leadership, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be a great leader. Just like there's nothing wrong with wanting to become a great sound engineer or wanting to become a great architect. Don't we encourage people to be the greatest at sports? Hey, you can be the best wide receiver. Hey, you be the best point guard. You be the best engineer. You know, that's what we tell our kids all the time. You know, it's, we say, you can be whatever you want to be as long as you apply yourself to it, right? So we encourage them to be the greatest of something. There's nothing wrong with being a great leader. We can find great principles in the Word of God to lead people. So leaders want to be great, serve people. Matthew 20:26 says, no, I just read that one. Luke 6:31 is another one. Treat others the same way you want them treated you. These are just all little golden nuggets in Scripture. We all know these. Leaders want to lead well. Don't ask someone to do something unless you're willing to do it yourself. Serve others. So I just want to encourage you as we just think about leadership and submitting to leaders, that submitting yourself to healthy leadership is what's going to bring the breakthrough in your life. I initially wrote out the title of this, Leadership, Submission for Breakthrough. kind of shifted around to healthy biblical leadership because it was a little more palatable. But I think I can tell you now that what I'm trying to communicate is that in your submission to healthy leadership, there is breakthrough in your life. Leadership, submission for breakthrough. So when we choose to be submitted to healthy leadership, that's when God is able to bring that correction in our life, bring that rebuke in our life, bring that encouragement in our life, and bring that teaching and training in our life in order to bring that breakthrough. So if you're looking for the next breakthrough in your life, if you're looking for the next breakthrough in your finances, you're looking for the next breakthrough in your family, you're looking for the next breakthrough in your job, you're looking for the next breakthrough in your spirit, in your heart, in your spiritual life, look to leadership and look to healthy leadership. And I can confidently say, as one who's a part of this house, that there's healthy leadership here. There's healthy leadership. Amen. So that's pretty much all I have. If we would just all stand, I just want to pray. Just want to pray that the Lord would put in us a heart to long for leadership, to submit to leadership. I was talking to Annette White earlier. We were talking about this before. No way. We were talking about before service, just about learning to accept and come into the fold to a leader that is healthy and strong and able to not only encourage and equip you, but to correct and rebuke you as well. And we all fear the rebuke and we all fear the correction. It's okay. It's all right to be afraid of it, but don't run away from it. It's funny, we were talking about that before service. You had no idea what I was talking about. And we just talked about leadership. We talked about Apostle Clay being submitted to him. I can tell you that being submitted to him, I've been corrected a lot of times, but it's been good. That I've been rebuked a lot of times, but it's been good. I've been encouraged so many times and exhorted, and he's pulled things out of me that I never knew were there, and he's found hidden treasures and hidden gems inside of me that I never knew were there. And if I was unwilling to submit myself to his leadership because I was fearful of the rebuke or the correction or the pain that might go along with that, I never would have been able to step into some of those treasures that I had that I never knew I had. I would never have been able to be fully equipped to move into the next season. Does that make sense? I would never have been able to experience the breakthroughs in my life that I've been able to experience because I'm submitted to healthy leadership. And not just with Apostle Clay, but with Dan and Vicky, with Thomas and Kathy, with Henry and Mary, other leaders in the house. Even with my covenant relationship and my bond with Mike and Jess, with Ian and Bree, that we walk together and we go through things together and we talk about struggles and joys and challenges, and we're able to equip one another and also correct and encourage. Is it making sense? Lord, I pray this morning that you would set a fire in us to not be fearful. God, burn up the fear right now. God, I pray right now that you would send your fire to burn away the imperfections, burn away the things in us that are keeping us from being submitted to healthy leadership. God, burn away the fear, burn away the anxiety, burn away the want to walk away and run away. And Father, we just say as a body that we step forward and we welcome the biblical principles that equip us. The biblical principles that equip us for every good work. Because we know that all scripture is breathed out by you, God, and it's profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, that what? The man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. So Father, right now, equip us for every good work. We don't ask for the breakthrough right now in the moment, but Father, as we submit ourselves to correct leadership, Father, that you would bring the breakthrough. So just take a moment and just, as we're just in this sweet place with the Lord and in this sweet place in worship and in intercession, just take a moment and just go before the Lord, even for just for your personal life, for your family, just go before the Lord and just begin to chew on this a little bit. Just begin to think on such things. I pray against a renegade spirit, a rebellious spirit in us that says we only want to be submitted to those that'll push us where we want to go. A renegade spirit that says we have itching ears and will accumulate teachers that will only suit our passions. God, I pray against that in Jesus' name. God, we welcome the leadership in our lives, the healthy leadership that exhorts, teaches, equips, that rebukes and corrects. We welcome it. Come on, just prepare your heart to welcome the biblical principles for being corrected, rebuked, and encouraged. As a leader as well, wanting to father, spiritually father, mentor, disciple people. Lord, we pray for an equipping this morning. Lord, equip us and let us be ready in season and out of season to preach the word, but let us be ready in season and out of season as leaders to correct, to exhort, to encourage, to rebuke, and to teach and to train up with all patience. Lord, I pray for that equipping right now for leaders in this house, for those that desire to spiritually father and spiritually mother a generation, to mentor, to disciple, and to equip people to be fully functional kingdom people. I pray for an equipping this morning, for biblical principles to be instilled in their hearts, for biblical principles to be instilled in their minds as they go forth and preach your word with correction, preach your word with exhortation and encouragement. I believe the Lord is releasing right now an equipping over leaders. There are so many. I just seeing leaders all over the room like lights going off. And I know that, you know, this, you may feel like I'm teaching to the follower, to the disciple that needs to be rebuked or corrected or exhorted and equipped. But I'm speaking to leaders right now, and I really feel like the Lord is releasing a mantle of leadership on you and releasing an equipping and releasing and putting tools in your tool belt, if I can say that. He's just giving you resources right now, downloading resources. I just see downloads coming from heaven. Equip the fathers in this place, Lord, to be great leaders in their families. Equip the mothers to be great leaders to their children, to be great leaders in their families. Lord, equip the brothers. For prodigal sons, Lord, we say come home and be equipped. Come home, repent, turn. Father, and that you would put the principles in the fathers and the mothers to not just see that child come back, but to run after that child as he comes. Thank you, Lord, for the equipping. Just receive that this morning. Really feel like there's a download and equipping going on right now with leaders, principles, resources being put forth. Right now, I just pray against familiarity that breeds contempt. You know, we can be so accustomed to something that we begin to lose the effect that it gives on us. I think about a drug addict when I think about that, because it's because of my brother. What heroin does is you get used to it in your system, so you begin to take a little more and a little more and a little more. Eventually, you're just going to die from it. And God, I pray against that familiarity that can just build up to where we lose the effect of it. I know it's a weird comparison, but God, I just pray against that just being desensitized to the culture that's in here. I tell this to our worship team all the time, that what we have up here, to be able to sit up here and play for 45 minutes an hour, is unheard of in churches and in church buildings and organizations and ministries, that we're blessed. Don't get familiar with us being able to be up here and do spontaneous worship. Don't get familiar with us being able to release prophetically. Be excited about it week after week. Don't let familiarity breed contempt in your heart towards it. So God, I pray against familiarity that can breed contempt. Lord, give us a fresh hunger. Give us a fresh thirst for your word. Give us a fresh thirst for leadership. Give us a fresh thirst for hunger in our lives. Father, give us a fresh thirst for biblical principles that equip us. And let us not become familiar with it so that we're desensitized to it, but that we're hungry for it. Come on, just say, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. We're hungry, Lord.